I want to just say a few words to you tonight as a kind of a continuation of not only last Wednesday night, but also of Sunday. And I want us to look tonight at that 29th verse of Matthew 11 and listen to Christ as he speaks in this verse. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. I thought about it, it's rather amazing to us, and certainly contradictory to our fleshly way of thinking, that Christ in verse 28 has just spoken about rest. And then in the next verse, the next words, he talks of a yoke. A yoke. You remember a yoke is that thing that they put on primarily a team of oxen. It's a big wooden affair that they would put over the heads and necks of oxen and hook the carts and wagons to those oxen to pull. They'd pull a plow, or they'd pull a cart, or they'd bear a burden made of rough wood, usually. But Christ's yoke here that he speaks of, I've called it the velvet yoke. The velvet yoke. Because he says it is my yoke. It's his yoke. And it's mainly, he's saying that compared to that of false religion. All those religious things that men were always binding on the Lord's people. In other words, it's exchange their yoke for my yoke. And I say that because of what is said in various places, but mainly in Acts chapter 15, when the apostle was speaking, and he said this, "Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" That's what religion is always trying to do, is put the man-made yoke on people, making them trudge and drag, pull and work and labor for salvation, for reward, for glory. But the Lord Jesus Christ tells us this concerning himself. He said, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." There is no binding in this yoke. There is no laboring for that which we already have in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no working for that which he says he's given to us as a free gift. So when he says, take my yoke upon you, in other words, this is a willing reception and putting on of Christ's yoke, much like we read about the bondservant in Exodus 21. He was set free and let go as a free man. But if he had family, if he had wife and children in the house of his master, and he didn't want to go out, he didn't want to stop serving in that house, he loved his master, then he could come and have his ear bored, and by that ear being bored, a hole punched through his ear, when somebody saw him, they would know that he was a willing bondservant. He was doing what he wanted to do. He was serving his master because he delighted to do it. So this yoke that Christ is speaking of is simply, I do believe it is simply a willing submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, take my yoke upon you. In other words, put it on you in a sense of submission, bowing to me and serving me because I've set you free, because you want to. You know, that's what the scripture says. It says that the Lord's people shall be willing, not unwilling. It says they shall be willing in the day of his power. He doesn't drag them. He makes them willing. He makes them to delight. And the greatest example of this is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Listen to his words. He says to the Father in Luke chapter 22, he says, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He took the yoke of the Father upon himself in a loving and willing obedience. So this is simply for the Lord's people who have been brought out of this bondage, who have been brought out from under the yoke of the law, that have been brought out of the yoke of false religion and false prophets and preachers. And he says, exchange all of that. You're free from all of that. Take my yoke upon you. So this is simply a willing submission. And I say a willing submission, and by that I mean not a solemn resolve. You know, well, the Lord's will be done. Oh, God's will's going to be done. The difference in the child of God and the fatalist is this. They come under a willing submission to the sovereign will of God as God, as our heavenly Father. And we come under his sovereign will as good. We recognize it. We believe by faith, as he says here and everywhere, that it's good. We don't know good by what we think is good. We know good two ways, by what God says and by what God does. If He does it and He works all things after the counsel of His own will, it's good. That's what He said here concerning so many. He said, "Even so, Father, for it seemed good in Thy sight." And it's a willing submission to His will as perfect. He does all things right. He never makes a mistake. And He never makes a mistake, especially in concern to the children of His love. He loves His people, and His will toward them is good, and it's perfect, and it's wise. All you have to do is look at the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the wisdom of God. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We don't know anything. We can't figure things out. We think sometimes we do, but we really don't. But the will of God, submission to His will, taking this yoke upon you, is realizing by faith that His will is wise and it's sure. His will is sure. He's going to bring it all to pass. If He's our God, we ought to delight. If He's saved us by His mercy, if He's dealt with us in kindness and grace and mercy, we ought to delight that He's going to bring His will to pass. And it's a submission to His will as glorious. The Lord's people, when they get into glory and are enabled to look back from the perspective of God Almighty and see what He did on this earth, especially as it pertained to them, they're going to just be flabbergasted. I don't know any other word. They're going to be amazed. They're going to, in human language, if we're that way, they're going to say, Oh, I see. It's just amazing, His glorious will to us. It's going to be glorious to us. And we're going to find out it's a will of grace. So when we take His yoke upon us, we acknowledge the sovereign will of God. We submit to the sovereign will of God as good and perfect and wise and sure and glorious. And when He says, "Take my yoke upon you," it's a willing submission. It's a being brought by the Spirit of God to a willing submission as to the way He's chosen to save sinners. You see, the natural man thinks that he knows better than God how to save a sinner. That's right. And until the Lord turns the light on in his mind and heart and understanding, he's going to advance the way he thinks that God saves sinners above God's way. But this taking the yoke of Christ upon you, we see and we submit to the way he's chosen to save sinners, which is according to His sovereign mercy. We're going to realize that the only way that we could ever be accepted in His sight, be saved from our sins, is because of His sovereign mercy, His will to have mercy and grace on whom He will, or He never had mercy on us. we look at Christ crucified. We look at things like divine election. We look at things like sovereign predestination, all of which are God's will, God's acts, God's doing, God's saving His people. And we take that yoke upon us as a velvet yoke. It's the only way. We love to have it that way. And it's a willing submission to the righteousness of Christ as the only righteousness. I always get scared, and I'm particularly scared in this day, in which so many who claim to believe the sovereign grace of God, that they are talking about righteousness in a way and ways that the Scriptures never speak of it. They talk about being righteous and therefore God viewing us righteous. No. The Lord imputes, or He reckons us righteous, He counts us righteous in only one way, or I should say, in only one person. If you don't believe anything else I ever say, if I'm gone tomorrow and whatever I might do, if I fall and rob a bank, there'll still be one thing that is absolutely unchanging, and that we're only saved in Christ Jesus. He is the Lord, our righteousness. God, the Spirit, does not ever do anything in us that enables us to become righteous. If we grow in grace, I'm so thankful, but I'm afraid that growing in grace is not growing in righteousness, it's growing in seeing the need for the righteousness of Christ. The only way we could be saved is by grace. Because Paul said of his own people, he said, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted. There's that yoke. They've not took on them this yoke. They don't wear this yoke. They don't delight in the fact that it's a velvet yoke. They're going to pull on some wooden yoke, and they're going to bruise themselves and tire themselves and be led by men to think that by the law that they can achieve what the law simply says that they cannot achieve. And they've not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God in Christ. Oh, they wanted to be right with God. They thought they were right with God. And that's why when He came, they despised the very righteousness of God, because it was in direct contradiction of their righteousness. You ever wonder why people, when they hear the gospel that gives all the glory to God, and they hear about Christ crucified, they hear about the Lord, our righteousness, they hear about being made the righteousness of God in Him, they hear about all that man is to put apart and put aside and to take only upon himself, Christ. Do you know why that makes him mad? because they begin to see that in the eyes of God, their righteousness is as filthy rags. It's like getting dressed up, you know, in your Sunday best, and you walk to the mirror and you think you look so good. And then you step outside and you run up with somebody that's better dressed, better looking, better everything than you, and just look at yourself. We submit in this willing submission to the righteousness of Christ. That we are made the righteousness of God only in Him. And to take His yoke upon us is also, I believe, it's a willing submission to His Word. It's a submission to the fact that the Bible is the final authority on everything. There are so many things that go on in this world that in order to have the world's favor, you just kind of, you know, you kind of, in the flesh, you want to agree with them. You want to go along with them with so many of the things that they say. But there's just one problem. You know that the Word of God says different. You can be happy in this world with a kind of worldly happiness if you don't know what God says. But if you're His child and have been made to know that His Word will forever stand settled forever in heaven, if everywhere and everything is to be judged and determined by what thus saith the Lord, you're kind of miserable. And you're kind of happy. There are two verses. I've read them to you before, but they stand out in my mind as what the Lord brings all His true children to the standard that they observe to the last inch of the rule. And they're found in that psalm that has everything to do in every verse about His Word. One of them is in Psalm 119, verse 104. The psalmist says, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. You think about that. His law, His testimony, His Word, in that verse, is called His precepts. Through thy precept, what understanding I have about God, about sin, about man, about salvation, about Christ. What true understanding I have came from the Word of God. So that naturally makes what you might call a negative response to that positive knowledge that God has given. He said, I hate every false way. I don't allow for them. I don't say it's the same thing. You see, if you wear the yoke of Christ, the pulling that you do will be against the world, especially the religious world. I remember reading some preacher years ago, and he was talking about the narrow way. He said, The narrow way is right in the middle of the broad way going the other way. And here's the other verse in Psalm 119, verse 128. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. And I hate every false way. That's a holy hatred for everything that is contrary to the Word of God. We don't have to worry about going somewhere and getting a second opinion. We don't have to worry about standing against that which we know to be wrong or untrue or error, if it's contrary to the Scriptures. And I'm of the opinion that if you don't hate every false way, you don't love the true way. You're not wearing that yoke, that velvet yoke. He said, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not concerning, according to this book, according to this law and testimony of God, it's because there's no light in them. The psalmist says this in Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect. It's always relative. It's always true. It's always God-honoring. It always gives the sinner one hope. The law of God is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. I happen to believe that when the Lord does a work of grace in the heart of a sinner, when the Spirit of God begins to work in one of God's elect, one of the first things He does is He makes that person to regard this book as the Word of God and causes them to take it as the authority above loved ones, above preachers, above religions, everything. As far as God has revealed it to them and taught them. There'll be things that they kind of struggle with. The yoke will kind of chafe in many things that we thought we were right about, or that we want to be a certain way. But God gives us grace. And we take that yoke upon us, and we realize it's a velvet yoke. It's His yoke. It's His yoke. And it's a willing submission to His providence. It is the Lord. Let Him do what seemeth Him good. Thought about old brother Wayne Land in Cherokee. No doubt in my mind he loved that woman. No doubt in my mind he did everything. He cherished her. He did everything to protect her and provide for her. And as far as worldly concerns, the Lord on the weekend took the most precious thing from him. As far as this world is concerned. And if I know him, and I think I do, he's like Job. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's a willing submission to his providence as it pertains to our lives, as it pertains to our families, as it pertains to our jobs, as it pertains to our health, in everything that comes to pass. Because the Lord here says, my yoke is easy. It's easy. Doesn't seem easy sometimes. But if I believe him, it's easy. Because the way of a transgressor, the Bible says, is hard. And he says, learn of me. Christ says, I'm meek and lowly. I'm just in awe sometimes to think about what the Son of God has done in condescending, coming down to this world, suffering the humiliation and the death of the cross, meek and lowly. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And he says, learn of me. Learn of me. We're taught of God. We have the revelation of God's Spirit. But I kind of think here he means by experience. Learn of me. When you have an individual who's a good friend, a faithful friend, and they've proven so many times that to be your help. They've proven that you can rely on them and depend on them and shown that they love you and all these various things. Christ said, learn of me. Watch me. Try me. Prove me. And you'll find rest. Learning of his person, learning of his work, learning of his word, learning of his ways, we find rest. The more you learn about and learn Christ, the more rest you have. That's the fact. The more rest you have. He says, take my yoke upon you. And it won't be a burden. You'll find rest. Because his yoke is a velvet yoke. You know how you put velvet on, it feels so good to your skin. I'll be honest with you. I saw a fella somewhere. Might have been on TV. And he had a kind of a reddish purple velvet sport coat on. And I thought, well, I bet that feels good. I shouldn't have told you that. Bet that feels good. His yoke is easy. He says, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. You'll find rest. Our Father, we thank you tonight for your precious word. Realize, Lord, that we're nothing. We're nothing in ourselves. But you've been made unto us everything. We pray that you'd cause us to know you, learn of you, submit in all things to you. Give us that rest for your honor and for your glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.